Taking the train to New York in a fog. I'm going to the Strata Data Conference at the Jacob Javits Center. There'll be new products there for sure. But it seems lately the discussions are more about how to make things work. You know, that and more than what's the next big thing. The next big thing is AI. I guess people know that. But it's a different feel right now. A lot of the activity seems to be around the shifts in big data architecture that cloud computing is bringing about. Note to self, for this edition of the Talking Data podcast, be sure to talk with Mike Magid from Small World Big Data, also Jay Krebs from Confluent.
Hi, this is Jack Vaughn. Welcome to the Talking Data podcast. I am joined today by Mike Magid. He is an analyst and a founder of the consultancy Small World Big Data. Mike, you and I were at Strata last week in New York, and as usual, it's kind of a busy time, and wanted to take some time to talk today about what you saw there.
Yeah, Jack, I'm happy to be here and tell you about some of the top trends that I saw at the show. I think overall, big data is maturing. It's a rapidly maturing market. It's been around for over 10 years. You know, it was originally a science project. And now we see that most of the people at the show were business practitioners looking to actually make big data work for their companies in very pragmatic ways.
Well, one of the things that was first seen for Hadoop and big data was as maybe a replacement for enterprise data warehouses, which are growing big and costing a lot of money. But it seems to have been a long journey to maturity in terms of actually going in production. What do you see in this regard? If we could start with what you might have seen in terms of the enterprise data warehouse, and I think you wrote in the story that you're seeing more structured data in the mix.
Yeah, right. I think that's really the key thing. Enterprise data warehouses had a lot of the aging transactional data for a company, the history trail of their structured data, and you could go and mine that historically and look for value in that. And when big data came along, the MapReduce and the Hadoop and the file system and so on, what they're really saying is let's look at the semi-structured data or the more unstructured data that a company has, and they usually have 60 times the volume that they had of their structured data. And so for about eight, nine years, they've been sort of separate worlds, with the big data space really focusing on that unstructured data, processing it in massive parallel queries. And then your data warehouse is still doing your traditional BI or business intelligence kinds of queries on structured data. And what we're seeing today is really a convergence. The big data platform is really winning because it can handle both structured and unstructured data. And there's just more and more facilities and more vendors piling on to make those big data platforms a really good successor to the legacy enterprise data warehouse technologies.
And in terms of maturity, what are the signs you saw? It has been a bit of a long road for some very innovative technology.
Well, I think you see companies that have been traditionally focused on the EDW space to provide data management and data quality, data provenance, master data catalogs, master data management. You see them coming into the big data space and on the vendor show floor showing how they can provide those same enterprise data management properties over big data. And in fact, combine, like master data management, for example, across all the data sets a company has, normal relational, historical BI, and big data platforms at once. So really, that to me says, hey, you've got a rapidly maturing enterprise functionality going on here, because now you can bring all those IT get governance responsibilities to big data the same as you have for everything else. Okay.
And yet I know you did write that it's not totally clear if the big data platforms are going to be master systems of records for all transactional data anytime soon.
Well, so the real question is, as a system of record for a transactional corporate's transactional data, it has to be the golden copy and be certified and be one place you go to find the ultimate truth. It's not clear to me that the big data platforms are yet systems of ultimate truth for a company because of the way they're built and the open source that's involved with them, and the way they really came from more of a data lake perspective, where you throw tons of data, multiple copies of data perhaps on there, whereas a system of record, the master system, is kind of historically like the mainframe. You've got one copy of data in there, and it's locked and written in iron on there. So that struggle, I think, still has to play out. However, I'd say that the big data platforms are now rapidly becoming the systems of action, or the systems of activity, where operational processes, business processes, your BI users, people doing interactive things at the edge of the business day to day are using that system. So the data that's in there is the freshest data. It is the most current data. It is essentially the good data. It's just not necessarily clear to me if it's the system of ultimate truth yet.
And to flesh it out a little bit, when you say system of action, what's implied there?
Yeah, system of action, I think when I say it, I mean that, hey, I can bring advanced analytics to streaming data, to historical data, to other data sets and converge it all at one time. So if I have a business application 5 years ago, it might have only been informed by the data from yesterday and backwards. And then a couple years ago, I might have a business application informed by data from, you know, say, an hour ago, some real-time data that's been processed an hour ago. Today, we're seeing business processes that have applications that might actually give you recommendations based on what the person just clicked on their website, or the places, that last five places they just visited, or what the weather is going on right now somewhere. So these systems of action really come up to the bleeding edge. They use real-time data. They use IoT data. They use historical data, and they combine it.
So when we talk about systems of action and we see all the changes in the architecture that seems to be undergoing, can you give a little history or how you see the evolution of how we got to where we are?
If you step back and look at it, HPC technologies, supercomputers, you know, 10, 20 years ago were these huge scale-out systems, but the technologies to make something work in a scale-out environment were very difficult. You certainly didn't write an application in your business that could make use of a supercomputing cluster. That's why they were special machines. And then what we saw happen was the rise of virtualization and virtual servers. And the hypervisor actually came along and said, hey, I can make use of a cluster of machines and give you your VMs and move them around as virtual objects. And now we see containers, Kubernetes, for example, as a container management system, taking that to the next step and saying, you know what, I can make a container management system and applications for containers that can take advantage of clustered machines or clustered resources and do a really good job with your application, which is why you're going to see a lot of things really moving to containers. At the same time, 10 years ago, someone clever, Doug Cutting and folks, came up with a way to say, I can use a cluster of machines and bring it to the masses and allow them to mine a petabyte of unstructured data cheaply. And that was the original MapReduce. What I'm seeing today, however, is this evolution that says, you know what, general purpose workloads, general business workloads, analytic workloads, databases, they're all becoming containerized, and they're all looking at these big data data sources and converging onto a scale-out platform that's ready for prime-time enterprises to adopt. So really, we've seen an evolution now in 10, 15 years of HPC technology coming into enterprise IT.
Yeah, and that was sometimes overlooked when people try to figure out where Hadoop came from and where it's going, is that lineage. I'd like to take a moment here to look at individual I hooked up with at the event, and that was Jay Krebs. He's the CEO and co-founder of Confluent. He had a big role in a lot of this architecture coming to be because he and his colleagues at LinkedIn built Kafka, the Kafka Publish and Subscribe Messenger. And we spoke with him, and let's hear a little bit of what he had to say about what I guess we're calling here event processing, real time, or systems in action. Talking with Jay Krebs, founder and CEO of Confluent, and a lot to do with the development, early development of Kafka at LinkedIn, and talking a lot about event processing as a paradigm for architecture and how it is relating to the big data, which we kind of thought of in the past as batch-oriented, end of the day after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see the emergence of events as one of the big kind of new ideas that's happened in the infrastructure world. The idea is that databases have usually focused on, you know, the past, what's stored, the state of the world. But what has come around is this idea of what's happening. And in a sense, this was available in nascent form in data warehousing with kind of the fact tables, which would try and record what happened. But of course, that's still a very delayed dump of things that you're loading day to day. What's happened in kind of the event world in event streaming with Kafka, with stream processing, is the idea that you could react to those same facts, those same events of what's happening in the business in real time. And I think the big transition happening in that stream processing space is taking a lot of the ideas out of the data warehousing world. The idea that you could take this stream of facts or events and join them on to the side data, process them, aggregate them. But now, instead of doing that at the end of the day, do it continuously and in real time. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Most businesses are continuous. They don't end at the end of the day. They don't go down. They're continuous digital things. And so the idea that your infrastructure would operate that way doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. It's almost a holdover from the mainframe world.
Well, that was Jay Krebs again from Confluent. It does seem to me to characterize some of the things we might have seen at the event at the Strata East. Something that kind of struck me, and again you've touched on, related to machine learning, it has been growing as sort of a use of big data or what you do with big data. And there seems to be a growing interest in how you manage, maintain these machine learning applications once they've been deployed. A lot of the effort so far has been about building them. But is that fair to say that there's sort of, I don't want to call it AI ops, because that'd be jumping on
a different bandwagon, right? You know, yeah. So machine learning is kind of a cool thing to do. I've done it in the past. It's been around actually for 20, 30 years. And what you're really doing is looking at data, finding a pattern that then you can reapply in a predictive way and say, you know, if I look at new data or new information coming in, I can now use what I learned from historical data and apply it to that. That's really all machine learning is at heart, is recognizing patterns. What's happening today, though, is we're looking at massive amounts of data. The data is streaming in, and these models that we're building are very complex compared to yesteryear's models. They have 40, 50, hundreds of features and attributes, neural nets that have multiple layers to them, like TensorFlow and a deep learning solution. And when you build a model like that, it's not a static thing anymore. New data that comes in informs that model and modifies it, and that model has to be updated. And so when you have masses of data and it's coming in very fast and those models keep dynamically improving, you have to redeploy them and get them back out to production. But because of the complexity, scale, and speed of how this machine learning is working out, you have to really apply a lot of administrative experience just to get the models into production and just managing the models. And you might have thousands of models. You might even have a unique model per customer or client or brain out there that you're trying to effectively emulate. And the sheer size of that says, I might have to bring machine learning to the table in order to manage my machine learning processes, to learn and kind of watch the watchman kind of way, I think I wrote in the article, to say I have to be really smart to handle the scale and complexity of what's going on, and therefore I need machine learning to even manage my machine learning processes.
So, yeah, anything else you'd add to this overall discussion?
I think when I step back and look at what happens in the big data environment this summer with the shows that I've been to, Strata, DataWorks, and a couple others, it really looks like big data has moved into the mainstream. And I would say into the heart of the data center, but I think our data centers are also changing into being hybrid cloud amalgams. So I think they're moving to mainstream IT. I look at any source of data and say eventually that data is probably going to become big data. I look at the way processing is going and saying, you know, scale up systems are passe. It's all about scale out systems, whether we're talking about virtual servers or container systems or big data systems. It's all becoming cluster oriented and distributed. And so when I put those kinds of ideas together, I think that the big data platforms are actually becoming more of the next generation general purpose data center platform. If you're not currently pursuing a big data strategy or initiative in your organization, you probably really should be, because it's coming fast and it's not going to wait for you.
Okay. Well, many miles to go before we sleep. It seems like that's been a coming, and it does seem to be what I'm seeing too.